Well, Len Zeem, it's been a interesting week here in Illinois. We've had some hot weather. We've had a lot of rainy weather, and the most rain I think we've had in a long time. So the golf courses haven't seen a lot of play because they've been pretty soggy or the golfers have been getting rained on. So hopefully it's a little drier by you currently in Sarasota, Florida.
Well, not really. You know, we made kind of a spur-of-the-moment decision to come back here from Illinois. We were there for the final round of the Illinois Open. Thoroughly enjoyed the performance by T.K. Kelly in that one. But we had some business in both places and came back here. We drove through a real torrential rainstorm in Atlanta, and it rained really hard. It's been raining here in Sarasota, Florida, quite a bit, but that's kind of good news for what looks out my window here. The champion course at Palmer Country Club that Lake in the Hills architect Mike Benkuski has been working on. So there's good and there's bad. It's kind of hard to play with the temperatures and the heat index what it is, but the rain should help the growth, at least of this course that I'm looking at.
Well, Len, last night there was a ribbon-cutting ceremony at the Northbrook Park District and the brand-new Heritage Oaks course, formerly known as Sportsman's, and saw architect Rick Jacobson there, talked to him a little bit about the project. But there is a public open house tomorrow from 1 to 4 to learn more about the golf course in the brand new clubhouse that is really sharp looking. I know there are some by invitation only golf going on Sunday, and then the course opens Monday morning, and at some point on Monday the practice facilities will open as well. So pretty exciting time, and it'll be anxious. I'm going to get out there on Sunday and play some golf and take a look at Rick Jacobson's handiwork and the brand new Heritage Oaks.
Yeah, I'm excited about seeing that place. I wish I could have been there. I was planning on attending some of these early events, and I'm told that I'm welcome when I come back, which is in about a couple of weeks. But that's going to be, Heritage Oaks is going to be a great addition to the Chicago golf scene. You know, for 90 years it was called Sportsman's, and it needed a refreshment, and it got it. And I'm excited about seeing it. I'm really looking forward to it. It's been a year for a lot of different projects in golf, and more people playing thanks to the pandemic got more people on the golf courses. So this is just another plus, and looking forward to seeing it myself.
Len, in catching up with Rick Jacobson last night, I learned a little bit more from him about the fall project at Kemper Lakes Golf Club. You and I have talked a little bit about this, but Jacobson tells me there are new tee boxes that are going to go in on 8 to 9 holes as part of the course lengthening program that's going to number out somewhere around 7,550 yards. And he says any kind of championship that club would like to hold, that golf course will be long enough and strong enough for any golf organization or tour that wants to come there.
Yeah, you know, that lengthening project can only be done as a means to attract a bigger championship again. Kemper has a good history of it. It's held majors from both the LPGA Tour and, of course, the big one, the 1989 PGA Championship, won by Payne Stewart. So, you know, I think it's time that the Kemper gets more into that. I think this is a very necessary step on the part of the membership there to attract, especially the bigger men's championships. There's certainly no need for a 7,500 yard golf course for members play, but the pro tours are playing longer and longer courses for better or worse, and Kemper is just keeping up with the times.
Well, Len, keeping up with the times is the USGA as they start to plan ahead in time. Actually, both Marion Golf Club, they're near Philadelphia in the northwest suburbs, and Oakmont Country Club in the northeast suburbs of Pittsburgh have both been awarded several USGA championships, including some U.S. Opens that run all the way out to the year 2050. So Pennsylvania is going to be a hot spot for USGA golf for the next 30 years.
You know, I was kind of not exactly surprised by that announcement, but I didn't really quite see the need for it because both Marion and Oakmont have been forever, it seems like, very frequently used sites by the U.S. Golf Association. This, I think, maybe just simply formalized the fact that for some of the dates down the road for those clubs and help other clubs in their own planning as to how to get on the USGA calendar. But no surprise there. Both clubs are outstanding courses with great history. And, you know, we've seen them off and on for a lot of years in U.S. Opens and major events of that nature, and now we're just guaranteed to see them for at least, I think, at least another couple decades.
Well, Marion will have the U.S. Open in 1930 in 9 years from now. It'll be the 100th anniversary of Bobby Jones winning the one and only Grand Slam in golf, and he closed it out there at Marion in 1930. So in 2030, we'll have the U.S. Open back at Marion in the land of the wicker baskets, or will the USGA try to bring in flags? I hope they keep the wicker baskets. I love the wicker baskets on the flag sticks.
Well, they, you know, that is a neat feature over there, but I think the anniversary, the centennial anniversary of the Jones Grand Slam will bring out all kinds of memorabilia, all kinds of good memories. It's something to really look forward to. That was a very historic time in golf. It was in golf's heyday right there. It isn't the thing, the heyday now, but that's a memory that will live on forever.
Len, we're at the last PGA Tour stop of the year before the playoffs. Yes, playoffs, and they will be coming next week. The playoff format has dropped down to less events. The four-event championship is now three events. And, of course, the schedule is changing a little bit coming in next year. Even John Deere moving up a week to be around the 4th of July. But some players we know are on the cut line as to getting into the playoffs, including some big names. And Kevin Streelman safely right now should be in those first two events, sitting, I believe, at number 58. However, Arlington Heights native Doug Gim has some work to do, sitting at 83 going into this week. So he'll play the first event for sure, but between this week and next week, he needs to have a good finish to make it into the BMW Championship at Caves Valley.
Yeah, he's got to crack the top 70, so that would mean he could do some climbing in the Wyndham going on now, but more to the point, he'll have to play well in the Northern Trust, the first of the playoff events. The boost is, you know, it's going to be a pretty big climb for Doug of over 10 spots to do it in just a couple of weeks. But it's not that he's not capable. It's very interesting for me to see that Streelman got off to a real good start in the Wyndham, and so he could climb up into the top 40, in the top 40s, and be on the cusp of making it into the Tour Championship, which is the top 30. If he keeps playing the way he's had a really good season, a very steady season. He's always been a pretty darn consistent player, but he's made the Tour Championship a couple of times in the past. I think this could be his third time through.
Well, it'll be interesting how all of that shakes out, and of course, how people play in the playoffs might also have an effect of what happens with the Ryder Cup. And, you know, there's apparently some talk out there that Steve Stricker has started Team USA captain Steve Stricker has started getting a little concerned about some of these rivalries and these little spats going on between players, and he's looking at taking steps to minimize that so it's not an issue come championship week at Whistling Straits. And, you know, there's enough going on with this Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau feud, but and apparently there's still issues between Patrick Reed, the hero at Hazeltine, and other guys on the team. And apparently Stricker's decided that maybe one feud is enough to have in the team room. And Patrick Reed, who's sitting 15th or 16th on the Ryder Cup point list and is a top 15 player in the world, may get dropped just to keep everybody on the same page from a harmony standpoint.
Yeah, Steve's got a tough road there. This DeChambeau stuff with him is just kind of getting out of control. Sometimes you read what you read, you wonder if anybody likes him at all on the tour. That he's a tough guy to play with and a difficult personality. Now, we of course have seen two of DeChambeau's big moments, winning the U.S. Amateur at Olympia Fields, and then he turns pro and he won at the John Deere Classic. He was always just fine then. I thought a fine guy. He was winning, and he certainly deserves to be on the Ryder Cup team again. But Steve has got to really deal with the personalities, especially in his pairings, once he does come up with his players, because I think that's going to be kind of a tricky thing this year. Does he get the very best players or the ones that get along the best? Can he create the best chemistry? It's a real challenge for the Ryder Cup captain this time around.
Well, then the matches that are going on today are the quarterfinals at Oakmont in the U.S. Amateur, and always exciting to see amateur play and any play USGA event at Oakmont. Those speedy greens always make it interesting there. And you know what I found interesting in the U.S. Amateur is, you know, obviously the U.S. Amateur uses a second course the first 2 days for stroke play. And at the end of day one, the top 32 finishers were all on the second course. If you played Oakmont the first day and you had the best score, there was one player that broke par at Oakmont the first day. He shot one under par, and his reward for being the best score at Oakmont was 33rd place.
Yeah, that just underscores just how difficult Oakmont can play and does play in any major championship. It's it's a funny thing there. It's a tournament that the USGA always has had a great fondness for challenge to determine the best golfer around, and it certainly has always done that. It's a little bit funny this year with the way that first round played it with the Oakmont players, really back so far in the overall standings. But all that stuff kind of shakes out in the end, and I'm sure it will this time around.
Well, Oakmont was in the U.S. Amateur was not a great spot for our local players, even though it appears that our Final Four players from the Western Amateur all made it into the match play. Some of them have dropped off already. Only Austin Greaser, who lives in the Dayton area, who was eliminated in the semifinals at the Glenview Club, is still alive and playing. And we had a couple guys, Charlie Nikitas and Brendan O'Reilly. O'Reilly actually may have gotten into the playoff to try to get into the match play, but did not advance. And I believe Charlie Nikitas missed the playoff by one shot. So hopefully wherever the U.S. Amateur ends up next year, our amateur players have a chance to head there and play well.
Yeah, this was a little bit of a disappointing season for the U.S. Amateur for Chicago players. I think only three, the veteran Glenview Club champion Charlie Waddell also was qualified for the U.S. Amateur. But I think it was just the Nikitas, O'Reilly, and Waddell. That's kind of a small representation. And when considering there's 312 finalists in the U.S. Amateur, that Chicago could only get three. But But next year is a new year, and a lot of good players coming up, and hopefully they'll do better next time around.
There is more victories at hand for Mike Small, and no sooner did you and I see him at the Illinois Open, where he did not have two of his better days in round two and round three. The University of Illinois men's golf coach has since rebounded by A, being named the Midwest Coach of the Year for the 11th time by the College Coaches Association of America. And then Mike apparently has started a winning streak at the Illinois PGA Senior PGA Championship. And I believe he's now won five of those in a row. So, you know, we love to talk to him about his section championship streak and how many times he's won that, 13 or 14 times. But he's also got a streak going now on the senior side as well. And so even though he likes to tell us how much he doesn't have time to play lately, he still seems to be playing pretty well.
Yeah, he sure does. He always just seems to be a contender. That showing in the Illinois Open, though, that was very unlike Mike Small. And the field he's going to be playing at in the Illinois PGA Championships still coming up here is going to be a lot more like the Illinois Open than the Illinois PGA Senior Championship. So Mike is going to be hard pressed. He's won it 13 times in 15 or 16 years, something like that. Amazing record. Just an outstanding record. But the older he gets, it's the harder it's going to be to keep winning at that kind of level. So it adds another a little twist to that tournament coming up at Ivanhoe in a couple weeks.
Well, it should be interesting times. I talked to John Billiter last night at Heritage Oaks, the head golf pro there. And, you know, his brother Jim is the head pro at Ivanhoe. And so I asked John, I said, you are going to go out there and win bragging rights in the family at Ivanhoe, right, on your brother's home turf? And he said, I certainly hope so. So we're going to have to watch the Battle of the Billiter family up at Ivanhoe in a couple of weeks when the Illinois PGA Section Championship tees off. And finally teeing off with the LPGA, Commissioner Molly Simon has finally taken office about 3 months after she got hired for the job, and it'll be anxious to see how she gets rolling in that position and puts a, shall we say, stamp on her early in her tenure. What's going to be the first big blast as she starts to settle in as Commissioner of the LPGA?
Yeah, I read the transcripts of her first interview on the job since taking over the job, and actually as a replacement for Mike Wann. She's got a tough act to follow, and that first interview didn't suggest. You certainly want to give her a chance, but she's got a lot of work on her plate to get things going there. A positive, of course, was the creation of the Legends of the LPGA, something which should have been done a long time ago. Now there actually is some teeth to the merge, to the working together with the senior players, and the senior players aren't just out there fighting for themselves. So I think that's a positive. How much she had a role in that, I got to think that there was she certainly had some, but a lot of issues with the LPGA. It's a good circuit. It can use more TV time. It can use more of a higher profile. I hope she can deliver that.
Well, Len, also in the news this week, and we have to prepare. We keep getting these hints that there could be some bombshells coming here, but former Tiger Woods mistress Rachel Uchitel is back in the news. And she's ready to open up a lot more about her relationship with Tiger. Apparently, she got a $8 million settlement, and there was a non-disclosure clause built into that. But she said legal fees and taxes took most of that settlement from her. She's almost broke, and she's been tired of now for several years being harassed by the Woods camp completely on multiple issues, and she's had enough of them and their abuse. She's not very happy about the all the money she no longer has or never got, and apparently is ready to start talking again regardless of this non-disclosure agreement, and says she's really willing to light things up. So before Tiger Woods can even get back on the golf course from his car accident, I think there's going to be fireworks in the Woods camp coming within the next week or two.
Oh, there always seems to be fireworks with Tiger. I wish it was more on the golfing side. I wish it was more for him playing. I mean, here she's going after him. These guys dealing with health problems, and you know, it's not like I'm feeling sorry for Tiger Woods, but I think, as I'm not, he's had a great career, and he's dealt with the mistakes that he's made too, and so I don't, you know, I'm not being a judgmental character there, but I think Tiger Woods is best served by being able to play again, if in fact that even happens. So we'll have to see what happens down the road. But this Rachel, she's not the first one that spoke up against him and tried to make a few bucks off of a celebrity star, and who knows what's going to happen. It's probably going to be overshadow a lot of good things that have been happening in the off the PGA Tour in the last few years, even though with Tiger not playing now. So I'll be reading, but not as interested as I might be.
It'll be interesting to see how all of that shakes out. Of course, a lot of these situations Tiger's been involved in, you know, he put himself in that position. He created these problems. So, you know, at some point he needs to deal with them. And I think he and his people need to, if they come to some sort of second agreement with her, then it's time to back off and finally go away and stay out of somebody's life. So, Len, any other final topics you'd like to touch on here before we call it a week? Oh, wait, I've got one more topic. How about all these new clubs coming out? And it's amazing what I've just learned in the last week or so is that not only has a new line of irons and putters come out from Titleist. In fact, our good friends at Mistwood saying they have now arrived over there for fitting. But Callaway has made some additional changes on the Jaws wedges created by Roger Cleveland. Our good friends at Tour Edge have a recent launch of clubs last month. In addition, Hanma has come out with new wedges. I understand that Wilson might be ready to do something. And again, Lenny, it's not all about the PGA show. We have clubs getting ready to come out, and a lot of these new clubs are going to be available before the end of August.
Yeah, that's a good thing and a bad thing for Len Zeem here. He certainly needs to get himself some new clubs, that's for sure. But you know, I tell you, there's just so much to look at now. I've never been one that stuck with one brand of clubs ever. I mean, I played my share of, tried my share of, given at times of a whole bunch of different clubs over the years, and that's a lot of years you know, I've been playing golf since I was 11, so that's almost 60 years playing golf. But you know, right now it's the market is so expanded, it seems like it's almost overwhelming to go into a PGA Superstore or any place like that and say I want this without trying about 10 other things to make sure you got the right thing. So you know, in a way it's a good problem to have. For me, it's a little confusing at the moment, and is going to require me to do quite a bit of homework, but I'm no different than the average hacker out there that wants to get his golf game as good as it can be. It's just time to go to work and see what's best out there.
Zeman Spears podcast series 2021 volume 26 is, well, Len, we will call it a wrap. We will put out and look forward to talking more about Heritage Oaks And a little golf travel, I believe, for both of us coming up here over the next week or so. And we'll have even more to cover in our next edition.
Sounds good.